Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show this morning. You know, we were just looking up at the monitors here in the studio. If you're watching this, the video screen, you'll even see it playing behind Dan's head there. The video of that auto crash out there involving an illegal immigrant trucker killed three people. They're now saying he was intoxicated. A 21-year-old illegal driving a truck.
Yeah.
And
completely
I couldn't
completely demolished a car, killing three in front of him.
So sad. And here we go again. It took 24 hours from the time of the accident before the California Highway Patrol released the identity of the driver who caused the fiery crash. And of course, I'm sure they weren't anxious to release the fact that he was an illegal. And now we need to get to find out where he got his commercial driver's license, probably in the state of California.
Yep.
Where does the madness end? I don't know. But we're glad you're back here with the show this morning. We talked about it last hour. The government shutdown is very close, this close to being the longest one ever. And I don't sense a great deal of urgency on the part of the White House or John Thune to let the Democrats off the hook here. Our friend Ryan Schmelz is live up in D.C. covering all this for Fox News Radio. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing well. So what's the latest? I heard Hakeem Jeffries yesterday complaining that the Republicans have been on a 4-week vacation.
Yeah, so the House Speaker Mike Johnson has resisted the temptation to bring the House back. He has said he'll bring them back as soon as the government reopens. But there have been some Republicans, I think, who have been questioning that, or at least raising concerns that the messaging might be getting old in some ways. Because, you know, you could say it for so long, but, you know, when the House is out of session, there's a lot of bills that they want to pass that they can't pass right now.
Yeah. So there's no restriction on what Congress can do, even though basically the government is out of money. Like they could operate as normal.
Yeah. I mean, they can still have votes. Capitol Police are considered essential workers. The people who work in the Capitol are considered to be essential. So the Capitol still functions in many ways. And of course, the members of Congress are still getting paid. Their staff is not getting paid. So a lot of them are coming to work. And, you know, remember yesterday, Jeff Merkley gave that 22-hour plus floor speech, fourth longest in history. The first thing that was said after he was done was a Republican Senator John Barrasso, number two Republican in the Senate, pretty much said that he felt that Democrats wasted their time by doing this and pointed out that Merkley's staff is getting paid right now.
Yeah,
well,
that's true.
Yeah. What was the bill yesterday that the Republicans brought forth to fund the U.S. military that the Democrats also voted down? Walk us through that proposal they put forth.
Well, the other day, the Republicans put the Defense Appropriations Bill on the floor. That would have pretty much been the military's fiscal year 2026 budget. It would have funded the military from now until the end of next September. And it's a bill that normally gets at least some type of bipartisan negotiation, something they wrap up usually every year. But ultimately, Democrats decided to shut it down. And yes, it would have led to troop pay and all that stuff. But even if that were to pass, I think they still would have been a long ways away from making that into law, because there's a big negotiation process that has to go on with these appropriations bills.
So I don't want to put words in the speaker's mouth, but it sounds to me like basically what he's saying is that we'll come back in when the government's operating again, because in the meantime, we're not going to really be able to get much accomplished, and it's just going to give the Democrats like Hakeem Jeffries a greater platform to grandstand on. I mean, it sounds like that's what he's suggesting.
Well, I mean, look, Jeffries is still doing his daily press conferences as is Speaker Johnson, despite the government being shut down. I would say that some of this is because, you know, it's kind of a strategy, which is that you pass your bill and then the other chamber leaves town and pretty much dares the other chamber to say, okay, well, that's the only option that's on the table. You better pass this now. You saw Senate Republicans do that to House Republicans during the One Big Beautiful Bill process. You've seen the government shutdowns in the past, or at least funding bills in the past. It worked that way, too. But, you know, this has also given Democrats an opportunity to argue that this is because Speaker Johnson doesn't want to swear in Adelita Grijalva, the congresswoman-elect from Arizona, thus making her the 218th signature on the Epstein Files discharge petition. So, you know, in some ways, Democrats have weaponized that talking point against Speaker Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that. Let's talk about the East Wing renovation for just a minute. I've heard all the sound bites. I heard listening to Gutfeld last night. I heard all the jokes about it, and you know, the reality of the thing is that a lot of presidents have done this. I mean, major portions of the White House have been rebuilt over the years. What's the controversy about this, in your opinion?
Well, I think the timing is certainly rubbing some people the wrong way. You know, because they're doing this in the middle of a government shutdown. I think the price tag overall is also where I think some of the controversy is coming from, too. I mean, I believe the last cost I saw was $300 million. And, you know, President Trump has said a lot of these renovations or these new projects he's going to spend out of his own pocket. But, you know, if a cost balloons to be that much, is he going to stick by that? I think that's where probably some of the questions are coming from.
Oh, we've got a guy who works at construction here in the studio this morning. Dan Buck, how in the world can it cost $300 million to build a ballroom?
Well, a lot of it is the historical value that it's got to be built to. I mean, they're going to have to meet all of the historic codes, I'm sure, to build it like it was
to make
built,
it look like
to make it fit. It
fits
yeah,
in.
Architectural. And they're not going to cut corners on this. This is going to be the stateroom. I wish they'd quit calling it a ballroom. I know he keeps calling it the ballroom, but it's going to be the stateroom. It's going to be where all of the major dinners are held. It's going to be where, you know, dignitaries from across the world are going to be, you know, having receptions. You're going to have all your senatorial and congressional meetings and lunches there. I mean, it's going to get great use instead of down the hall at Watergate or one of the other big ballrooms at a hotel. They're actually going to be able to host it at the White House. So
interesting.
Yeah, it's not hard when you start talking about gold lace paint and some of this stuff.
And Ryan, I heard a report from CNN that it aired back in 2010 that when Barack Obama renovated for his basketball court, that renovation cost $376 million. Have
of
you heard that reporting?
Taxpayer money.
I've not seen that yet, but I'm not shocked by that. I mean, that's not exactly cheap to build something like that. And I would say before about the last comment too. Yeah, I don't think the plates in the Civil War they're using for the new stateroom is going to exactly be bought from Walmart or Amazon.
No, it'll be top notch stuff, I'm sure. With the presidential seal on it and all that. Bigger and better than ever. All right.
Yeah, timing is probably the biggest question, though, right? I mean, that's probably why they're jumping on this. It's like just gives them one more feather for their, you know,
hat.
Yeah.
Especially if construction is going during the duration of his presidency.
That's,
I mean, you know, it's going to be a visual for Democrats to jump on. You know, and who knows? I mean, this could be a phenomenal project that really changes the identity of the White House for the better. I mean, it definitely could be that way.
Well,
but,
you've been in the East Wing. It's an ugly building, right? And the East Wing is a gross building.
Well, I remember what the press room was like before they renovated it, and it was a interesting place, to say the least.
Yeah, very true. All right, I know you got to run, Ryan. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you, Mark.
All right. Talk to you soon. We get him for about 15 minutes. That's there off great. The top of the hour. But, yeah, I've been in the press room. It's not a great area, as Trump pointed out. I think it used to be a swimming pool, and they covered it up and made it the press room. It's really small.
Yeah.
And it's cramped, and the radio reporters have tiny little booths in the back where they, like, you can go downstairs. That's where the Fox News radio booth was. I remember visiting when I was there, and it was they did an upgrade, but they basically painted it and added a few chairs. I mean, there's not much you can do because it's such a small space. This is going to be beautiful. And as Mike Johnson pointed out yesterday, guess what, Democrats? You're going to get to use it too when you win the White House back, right? It's there. It's the people's house. It's going to be there for everyone.
Yeah, he didn't build this like at his own estate or something. This stays behind. And the fact they keep burying the lead. Private donations, right?
Yes.
They keep burying the fact that this is not taxpayer
not
money.
Not costing a dime.
Right. Now it's over $300 million. Who cares, right? If people are willing to fund that and make that contribution, I don't care if it's $500 million.
Here's the CNN report from 2010 when they seemed not concerned at all. Listen.
All of the banging, the jackhammering, the dust, the confusion, the noise of all places to do construction is happening right here, the front lawn of the White House. It's a four-year renovation project. Estimated cost, $376 million.
For a gymnasium.
CNN in 2010, $376 million. They didn't blink at it. And this time, if you go and listen to all the talking heads on MSNBC, they can't believe that Donald Trump is going to build a big, beautiful ballroom and spend $300 million in non-taxpayer money on it. Private donations are going to build it. What's the outrage? How could you be outraged about that?
And it's a stateroom that'll be used by congressional leaders. It'll be used by both parties. I mean, it's crazy how upset they are over something. It's not a gymnasium or a swimming pool. You talked about there used to be a swimming pool.
And a bowling alley. Richard Nixon put a bowling alley.
Some president put in a swimming pool for him and his family.
I think it was FDR. I could be wrong about that.
Yeah.
All right, quick break here. We're back in just a minute. We got Tom Ackerman at the bottom of the hour to talk about the big Mizzou-Vandy football game this weekend.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Stay tuned.
If it looked like a duck, walked like a duck, and quacked like a duck, it's a duck.
Yes, it is. Could not agree more with former Congresswoman Corrine Brown. She said that right before being sent to prison for fraud, just so you know. I find that is pretty funny.
The irony.
Back to this situation with the 21-year-old semi-truck driver, this gets more outrageous the more I hear about it. If you're not pissed off, you're not paying attention here. So three people are dead. A 21-year-old illegal immigrant from India is responsible. He was intoxicated. I'll murder his name here, but it's Jashanpreet Singh. They finally released his name. He crossed the border illegally in 2022 and was released by the Biden administration into the country, according to multiple law enforcement sources. The suspect was first encountered by Border Patrol agents in California's El Centro sector in March of 2022, then released into the interior of the country pending an immigration hearing that was probably never going to happen, and the Biden administration knew it. Singh has now been arrested on suspicion of gross vehicular manslaughter while intoxicated after plowing his big rig into slow-moving traffic on the I-10 freeway in San Bernardino County.
The carnage is just horrific.
Where does it end?
Look at it.
So the question is, of course, DHS sources confirm he is not in lawful immigration status. ICE has lodged an immigration detainer following his arrest. They'll have to fight the state of California to get their hands on him, probably. And the question not answered in this is, let's see here, is how he got the driver's license. You remember that last one, the one in Florida? That guy got his commercial driver's license in California. And he had crossed the border illegally in 2018. And so in this particular case, they don't know where this guy's CDL came from. But California is the most likely place since the crash happened in California. They're taking illegals who don't speak the language in most cases and can't read the road signs and turning them loose in these semi-tractors that weigh thousands and thousands of pounds. And they're putting your life at risk.
Yeah. It's important, too, to know that these people are taking jobs from Americans. When you just go out there, I was searching 21-year-old truck driver to get some details on this story.
Right.
And the first six hits were all places hiring truck drivers, needing them now, offering $8,000 signing bonuses, offering over $100,000 a year in pay. And they're big companies, reputable companies looking for drivers. They can't find drivers. So it's like, well, I say you can't find drivers. They're hiring, in many cases, especially in these sanctuary states, these illegals taking jobs and opportunities away from Americans. It's absurd. These are great paying jobs, and we could get responsible people who can actually read signs and aren't going to drive under the influence of drugs. And it was drugs, not alcohol, that he is being held on suspicion of. So, you know, who knows what the drugs were, but the fact is that why aren't people outraged of the simple economic fact that American jobs are being taken by illegal immigrants?
And if you're a Democrat and you're upset with that policy that led to fatal accidents just like the one yesterday in California, you might get kicked out of your party. Listen to John Fetterman.
I will never understand why it's controversial to round up and deport all of the criminals here that are in our nation right now. And I'm proud to just agree that we need to secure our border. I don't know why these other kinds of things. And if they want to, you know, run me out of the party for these kind of views, I mean, that's really there. It's up to them. But
Yeah. They're going to run me out of the party for thinking we shouldn't have open borders and we shouldn't let people that can't read English and be here legally, we turn them loose in tractor trailers.
Yeah, in 10,000
and that's
pound
okay.
vehicles, right. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I don't know. This is one more stone on the scale that'll make people wake up and realize what a disaster it was and how well the Trump administration's going to fix this problem. All right, coming up, Tom Ackerman. Big game. Maybe never a bigger game on Mizzou's schedule than the one this weekend where they take on number 10 Vandy. We'll be right back. All right, so we're waiting on Tom Ackerman to get here in the studio with us this morning. And Dan, I have some friends who will go unnamed here on the radio.
You have friends? Let's start there.
Okay, let's start there. I have friends. And I see Tommy walking in now,
and
we'll continue this conversation. But I have friends who have zero faith still in Coach Drink. They don't think he can win the big game, and they call into question his wins against other top programs over the years. So we got a big one this weekend.
Yep,
let's get to Mr. Ackerman's intro here, please.
My only concern, a great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is Ackerman, not Ackerlady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
McDonald's sounds
how about
good.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
How you doing, Tom?
Doing great. I just had popcorn for breakfast.
Oh, nice.
Nice. I see you brought
champions.
None with you.
You ever eat that? Well, I ate it all. Do you ever eat that white cheddar popcorn in there?
Oh, yeah. It's really good.
You know how some bags, like in that vending area, have a lot of air in them?
A lot of air,
a lot of stuff. Those smart food popcorn bags, boy, that takes me like 15 minutes to get through.
Wow, that's good.
Really good, man. That's a lot of popcorn. I feel good.
Not a lot of air. But
Mark brings up drinks.
Yeah, okay, drink.
Yeah.
So, just friends that worry that historically he's not gotten it done against these top teams in the country, and Vandy's certainly one of them right now.
Well, he's won a lot of games. I mean, you can tell that's why drink's been a little salty lately. You can tell he's heard all of that.
Yep.
You know, all this guy does is win games. He lost one game to Alabama by a field goal, a game they could have had. And, you know, Alabama possessed the ball for 38 minutes. You're not really going to win if they have a nearly 2-1 margin in time of possession. So they have to figure out how to reverse that. They go down to Auburn. They don't play great, but Auburn doesn't either. It's kind of a mess of a game, but they win, and that's the point, is they continue to win games. They won on the road for the first time. I don't know if anybody's ever been to Auburn, but that could be top five best home field advantage in all of college football.
That's
place
tough.
Is unbelievable. I don't care how they are in terms of record. So Missouri went down there and won the game. Now, that said, Drinkwitz pretty much picked his team apart this week. He saw deficiencies in every single area. He was asked about it. He went on for like 2 minutes. We don't do this right. We don't do this right. He went every single thing. There wasn't one thing I don't think that he was satisfied with in the Auburn game, yet they won. So what you have to say about Missouri's team is they're tough. When they don't play well, they seem to find ways to win games. We have not seen the best of Missouri. I'm not sure that we will. I think this is kind of who they are. I think they're not a perfect team. I think they make mistakes. I'd love to see a better performance out of them, but I will say Drinkwitz wins, and he wins a lot. And he does need a signature win. If I go back and I think what are his signature wins, they probably came in, last year's bowl game, the year that they 2 years ago when they absolutely destroyed Tennessee at Faurot Field. That was fun. That was really, really fun. That was a statement game for him. He's had some really good games, so I don't want to hear that he hasn't won big games, but he needs a signature win to kind of calm down the critics. And when you're in the SEC and you have a big budget, and Missouri does, and they're starting to spend some money, you want to see your team in the college football playoff with it expanded to 12. But everybody else in the SEC wants the same thing. So they're in the mix. A win over Vanderbilt would be tremendous towards that. A loss to Vanderbilt kind of knocks them out. And the same thing on the other side. This is almost like a play-in game to be in the conversation. If Vanderbilt loses this, they're out. If Vanderbilt wins, they're very much in. So this is a great game between these two. This is not your grandfather's or your father's Vanderbilt. This Vanderbilt team
kidding.
Is really good. Their quarterback is an absolute killer, Diego Pavia.
Yeah, he's a stud.
It's right. Going to be a fun game, really, really fun game on Saturday.
I'm not comparing the Vanderbilt and Indiana football programs, but you talk about parity giving back to college football. I mean, they're both having the best seasons they've had in memory, right?
Yeah, I would say comparable in that, both were doormats of their conference for a long time. Indiana, known for basketball. Vanderbilt, also a good basketball program, but football was basically a laughingstock. You know, you went to Vanderbilt games if you were – because you live in Nashville and you're an Alabama fan. You know, you go see Alabama play there, or you go see LSU play there, or whatever. And now they're the real deal. I mean, they hit hard. Their coach, Clark Lee, is awesome. I mentioned Pavia. They have players, though, all over the place. And he thinks he can build a power there. He's in Nashville. They have tons of money at Vanderbilt. And same thing at Indiana. You know, Indiana is a very wealthy school. I mean, they have a lot of money. They have the largest alumni base in the country. And Indiana does. And just passing, I believe, Texas for that
So they have a lot of people with a lot of dollars.
They have a lot of rich, famous and alums, like Tom Ackerman.
I think you meant to say Mark Cuban. And so it's fun right now to be an Indiana fan, to be a Vanderbilt fan. And I think it's been good for college football. I know there's a lot of people upset about all of this, but I tend to think those are the fans or the people involved in blue blood programs who don't like teams like Indiana and Vanderbilt coming in and taking what was once theirs.
Yep.
Now you have about 20 teams playing for a national championship each and every year. It's kind of like a little NFL. Yeah. So there is parity in the league.
Not sure I appreciate the blue bloods comment, because if I accept that, I also have to accept it in college basketball. As a Kentucky fan, I'm just not willing to do that.
Oh, we're not a blue blood in college basketball in Indiana? Yeah.
Oh, of course you are.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, you're saying that the blue bloods in football don't like the people that weren't coming in and winning.
It is true.
Basketball, there's a lot more parity too. It's tougher and tougher for Kentucky to dominate the SEC as we did for so many years.
You are absolutely right. That is true. I get your point on that, but that is absolutely the case. No question.
We got about a minute left. Give us your critique. Blues 3-3. They play the Mammoth tonight. What are your thoughts? It's a young team. But again,
I think you let the coach handle this one. He has been, you'd think Drinkwitz picked his team apart. Montgomery has been very outspoken about how bad this team has been in practice, how they've gotten off to slow starts. He has changed up the defensive pairings for tonight. He has a completely different look in terms of his lines tonight. He is obviously trying to stir something up with this team. He is not happy.
No.
Not a happy camper at all. He said he sometimes after a bad game, he will go back and watch the tape and say, we weren't that bad. He said that is not the case the other night against the Kings. He went back and they were that bad. So he's not pleased. I think that's probably a good thing. Montgomery tends to get his teams going in the right direction. And I would expect them to be a much more ferocious team tonight against the Mammoth.
The Mammoth. The Utah Mammoth
coming into town tonight.
I saw that they were playing the Mammoth. I had to ask, Ethan, who the hell are the Mammoth?
The Mammoth.
He said they're the Utah hockey club that didn't have a name last year, right?
Yeah.
Now they got a name, a bad one at that.
Yeah.
Very bad.
It's very early in the season, but I'm glad that he's concerned, and obviously he's trying to build a powerhouse. And to do that, you've got to have everybody moving in the right direction.
And who does Indiana have on Saturday?
UCLA.
Oh, that'll be another
which
battle.
Which Kurt Cignetti has said, don't look at their overall record. They're 3-0 is the way he looks at it. Since they had the coaching change, they're 3-0. They're hot right now.
Yeah, that's great.
Good.
Are they number two
now in the country?
They are.
That's wild.
So before we run, what's the line on the Mizzou-Vandy game? Do you know?
Three.
Yeah. Vandy's favored by three?
Vandy's favored by three.
At home.
Indiana favored by 26.
Oh, my gosh.
It's crazy, man.
Wow.
It's absolutely crazy.
And Cignetti just got an eight-year extension on his contract?
Cignetti always says, rip off the rearview mirror. What we did doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's all about UCLA. I love this guy.
My biggest concern with Drinks is that he won't stay around, that somebody will snatch him up and offer him crazy money.
Mizzou's going to have to pay up for sure.
Yep. Awesome. Tommy, always a pleasure, brother.
Except for Mark's friends. They'll be happy to see
you. I do have a couple of friends that are not big fans. All right.
Exactly.
Thanks, Tom Ackerman. We always appreciate you. All right.
Off to the mocks.
Yes, he is. Coming up, we're going to get to In Other News for you. Next hour, we'll check in with Dennis Hancock. He's, of course, the county councilman in St. Louis County. He is running against, right now, Sam Page for that county executive position. I don't know if Page ends up being the candidate or not, but he's got his hands full with legal problems right now. Let's look at it that way. We'll talk to Dennis Hancock coming up about 7:35.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do? Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In other news.
Well, this robbery at the Louvre continues to get stranger and stranger, right? Ooh. The fact that they got away with it, number one, in broad daylight, number two, and in slow motion, number three. There's now video from, like, you've seen the video from the front of the building with the lift truck.
The big lift
pulled
ladder
up to the front window, yep. Right? Well, now there's moving video that they had, some security camera somewhere, that shows them making their escape. Well, this thing is like a slow ride in an amusement park. Like it just slowly slides down the ladder, like in real time, until it gets to the bottom, and then they calmly climb out of it and run off with the stuff they stole. Like they were in no hurry whatsoever. Nobody even knew they were there, apparently.
Well, that's how you're supposed to do it, Mark.
I guess.
You're supposed to calmly walk out and not get anybody's attention, says the woman who reads all these, you know, mystery novels. And now,
you got to act like you've been there. They pulled it off and got away with millions of dollars in jewels, more than 1,300 diamonds that once belonged to the Empress Eugenie, apparently.
That's wow. Napoleon's wife. Woo! Good grief.
I'm just surprised nobody did anything. There's like, you can see people with their phones just kind of videotaping it.
Well, they thought it was just workers. I mean, it's brilliant in its simplicity.
To a point, but when they're messing with stuff and start grabbing stuff, you're just going to be like, okay.
Oh, you mean from inside?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant on the outside.
No, no, no. I'm talking about the inside one.
Yeah.
All right, guys. One of the strangest things about life is really how easily it can end. All right. This is crazy. One of the simplest things, we do it often. I do it every day, just about. Can end up killing you. Apparently, a woman in England was yawning. Okay, just a simple wake up 5 a.m. is preparing a bottle for her child, did a big yawn and broke her neck.
What?
It almost killed her. She had a 50-50 chance. They rushed her to the hospital, and she literally had to have emergency surgery to save her, and it did save her, but they said a yawn could have killed her. Can you imagine?
Did she have a prior neck injury?
No. There had been no prior. She was young. She was 29 years old at the time. It's just crazy. She's from Milton Keynes, which is in central England. Huh. Yeah.
Wow. I got to be careful.
I know.
It's a pretty big yawn sometimes.
I yawn really big. I mean, breaking your neck. I'm like, what?
Oh, wow. All right. So I've always believed that, like, remember Sue, when we used to go to Uncle Lee's Chinese Buffet out there in West County?
Yes.
The best.
So good.
Generally speaking, when you go to an all-you-can-eat buffet, you can't take it home with you. Like, you can't fill up a box of food and take it to go. The idea is you can eat all you want while you're there, but any leftovers, you have to leave, right? You just don't do that. Well, Olive Garden has some sort of bottomless pasta dish you can get for $14. You can mix and match rounds of pasta and sauce with unlimited soup or salad for $13.99.
Wow.
And there's a story in the New York Post today about these gluttonous customers who racked up a $150 bill. They just never stopped eating. And it was a huge table, apparently, and the server was hesitant to say anything because he didn't want to compromise his tip. But apparently they've loaded their plates up one last time, asked for boxes, loaded it all in to-go boxes, and took pasta home with them. What? Why does the restaurant allow that?
I mean, you're not supposed to. It's weird. Yeah. A friend of mine just posted about Olive Garden yesterday. They took their, you know, almost teenage son in. She said she used to work there in college, and she hasn't been in years just from the, you know, she didn't want to go back because she worked there for so long. And her son ate, he said, endless pasta, ate two plates and couldn't get any farther. And she said, but, you know, she worked there. You're not allowed to take any home.
Well, they apparently let them do it in this case.
Oh, yeah.
There was, like, a trend where people, you would watch them, and they were shoveling it into, like, a purse.
Oh, come on.
To, like, sneak it out.
Hope they had it lined with, like, a baggie or something. Anyway, it's crazy what laws we have to write in order to stop things that we would never even think about happening, right? But in Ohio, they created a bill that's going to go before the Ohio State House for a first vote tomorrow. They get this. They are having to legally block artificial intelligence from gaining human-like rights, including the ability to marry either AI or participate in human relationships with legal recognition. They literally had to ban it now because people are wanting to marry their AI clone on air, on their computer.
People are sick and twisted.
Oh, yeah. The asteroid can't get here quick enough.
And let's hope it passes. let's just hope it passes. That's all I know.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk about those SNAP benefits that might expire soon. We'll talk to Tanya J. Powers from New York.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.